This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this is your Nishna Valley. Seasons are changing.
Yes.
Officially.
Oh, that's right.
Saturday, yeah. September 22nd, first day of fall. So, hope you enjoyed summer. It is officially over.
Done, we can have one more warm day.
Finished. Well, we'll have more warm days, but it's just not going to last very long at this point. You know, we've had some decent... Well, look at last winter.
Yeah.
What did we have, like 3 snowfalls?
It was awesome.
Don't tell that to the guys who plow snow for a living. They would disagree.
Yeah.
But I'm not too sure about this year.
I know everybody's saying how it's going to be even worse than, you know, a couple of years ago. And it's like, how do you know?
I'm not too sure what to think. You know, you hear... It depends on what you read and who you listen to and whatever else. I mean, some people will tell you, oh, it's going to be awful this year because last year we didn't have much and it was a hot summer. It'll turn and you know, you thought it was going to be hot forever and it'll turn fast.
Yeah.
Somebody told me the other day that they heard or read somewhere that October 16th.
Okay.
First snowfall.
Oh, really?
I don't remember who told me that now. And I don't remember where they heard it, but they either heard, read, or had... come across something somewhere that they were projecting the first, maybe it was one of the almanacs, projecting October 16th as the first snowfall. As you can well imagine, that would be significantly earlier than the first normal snowfall around here, but October...
It's happened before.
Yes, it has. October 10th is actually the average date of the first freeze for this area. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
October 16th would be really early. Yeah, I mean, you're talking, what, 3 weeks away? Three or four
Ooh,
weeks?
That's a little...
Not very far down the road. I don't want to see
when
that.
When you put it like that, it makes it a lot sooner.
You know, last winter, as we said, was pretty mild around these parts. It was relatively warm. We didn't have a lot of snow, and it certainly didn't stick around when it did snow, and we didn't have those massive snow events like we've had. But that's, you know, we live here in southern Iowa. If you move further north, I lived a couple of years while I was in college in Minnesota. Yeah.
A little more wintry.
A little more snow, a little more cold, and it doesn't go away. Not for a good long time. When you can build this massive ice castle on the ice that's built up on a lake.
Is that where that's at? I've heard of that before.
You know that it stays cold for a very long time.
Wow.
Yeah, they had an ice festival. Winter carnival or whatever you want to call it up in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay.
And I know the 2 years I was up there in college, they had, and we went over 1 year to see it. It's this giant ice castle. Mm-hmm. They just make these giant ice blocks and build it up. And then they fill it with all kinds of different colored lights and stuff that change and what have you. And it's like a life-size deal. It's huge.
Yeah.
What's interesting is to be around when it starts to
melt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when the ice melts... It just kind of collapses all of a sudden, and I've not been there to see it, but you see video of it because all the news television stations send a news crew out to cover that about the time it's going to happen, you know, because they have a pretty good idea. But yeah, that's the end of a long, long winter. But but imagine living in some place that would be relatively remote and cold and snowy. Let's just say, I don't know, Alaska, perhaps.
Okay.
How about Nome, Alaska? Way up north.
Yeah.
I was reading an article this last week that the Associated Press had tossed out. It talked about, you know, Alaska's known for pioneering, self-reliant people, accustomed to remote locations and harsh weather. I suppose it's whatever you're used to, you know. But despite that, they said Governor Sean Parnell was worried that a major earthquake or volcanic eruption could leave the state's 720,000 residents stranded and cut off from food and supply lines. So his answer was to build giant warehouses full of emergency food and supplies just in case. Now, for some of those folks down here in the lower 48 states, that might seem kind of extreme, but, you know, the governor says, hey, this is just Alaska. He says, in many ways, the state is no different from the rest of America. Most people buy their groceries at stores and rely on a central grid for power and heat. But unlike the rest of the lower 48 states, help isn't just a few miles away.
Yeah.
When a fall storm cut off Nome from its final fuel supply last winter, a Russian tanker spent weeks breaking through thick ice to reach that remote town. Doesn't happen very easily.
Yeah.
Well, weather isn't the only thing that can wreak havoc in Alaska. They say small planes are the preferred mode of transportation, and the drive from Seattle to Juneau also requires a ferry ride and 38 hours in a car.
Jeez.
Yeah.
It's no short trip.
No short trip. It's not like driving from here to Omaha or Des Moines. No. The state's worst natural disaster was in 1964 when a magnitude 9.2 earthquake and the resulting tsunami killed 131 people, and it disrupted their electrical systems, water mains, and communication lines in Anchorage and a number of other cities. But they say that, you know, they have a different motivation to do this because help is such a long way away. The state plans a couple of food stockpiles in or near Fairbanks and Anchorage. Those are two cities that also have military bases. Construction on the two storage facilities was to begin this fall, and the first food deliveries were targeted for December. And the goal is to have enough food to feed 40,000 people for up to a week. And that would include 3 days of ready-to-eat meals and 4 days of bulk food that can be prepared and cooked for large groups. To put that number into perspective, Alaska's largest city, Anchorage, has about 295,000 people, according to the Census Bureau. Juneau, the third largest, has about 31,000. They say it's not unusual for states that routinely experience hurricanes or other large-scale disasters to have supplies like water and the MREs, the ready-to-eat meals, the cots and blankets, things like that. But Alaska is interested in stockpiling food with at least a 5-year shelf life that meets the nutrition, health, and cultural requirements of the state's unique demographics. What that means, well, as part of the effort, they're trying to incorporate cultural foods like salmon for Alaska natives, as well as foods that would be more common in urban areas. But they say an estimate 90% of commodities that enter Alaska are delivered through the port of Anchorage. And air service is also a critical link to the outside world. Generally, the only way to reach many rural communities is by air. So a volcanic blast that would emit a large amount of smoke and ash could disrupt their supply lines by both air and water for an extended period. And an earthquake could knock out airport runways or shipping ports, and those are just some of the disasters that could require emergency supplies. So their emergency management folks are really kind of planning for the worst, I guess. But they say that Parnell has made disaster readiness a priority for his administration, and his spokeswoman said he's experienced firsthand the devastation of natural disasters, including heavy flooding that knocked some buildings off their foundations in Eagle, Alaska, in 2009 when he was a lieutenant governor. And also the Joplin tornado last year was a good example. He and his wife were visiting Joplin with members of the relief organization Samaritan's Purse at that time. They also say that Alaska's readiness is better than it once was, and they hope to continue to improve that. They've been working on individual responsibility, talking at schools, public gatherings, emergency management officials. Also have a booth at the Alaska State Fair, and a statewide disaster drill is planned for the month of October as well. They've tried to do all kinds of different things, but yeah, it's a whole lot different. You know, when natural disasters hit, you think of Joplin, Missouri, mm-hmm. for example. The response was immediate.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as the weather was nice, you know, the next day, people were piling, in some cases, not even that, but earlier than that, but people were piling into the town to help out, to provide, you know, physical labor to help out, to bring supplies and money and what have you into the community to help those folks bounce back. Well, that's great if you're surrounded by people.
Mm-hmm. A little kind of in your own little world.
You know, when we just live our lives and don't think much about it, and we don't really live there, you don't realize how, like, for example, Alaska. Mm-hmm. You don't realize how big it is. I mean, take out a map sometime of the United States and then grab Alaska off of there and set it on top of it, and you'd see how big Alaska is and how mm-hmm. spread out things are. We had a chance to do an Alaskan cruise, my wife and I, a few years ago. You don't realize how small we really are until you're doing one of those.
Really?
And you're sitting there in the ship and you're looking up at the mountains and mm-hmm. and the glaciers and all that kind of stuff, and then you kind of look back and you realize how small we really are.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how big the world is. But yeah, it's there's no help close by. Schools, I know schools struggle a lot with transportation costs and stuff for high school athletics and other activities and things, for example. You pretty much have to fly oftentimes to your opponent's schools. So, yeah, it's very remote in some places and very difficult to get around. And consequently, when you have disasters happen, very difficult to get supplies there. Have you ever watched the show Ice Road Truckers?
I've seen a few. Enough to know that, yeah.
It's not the easiest thing in the world to get supplies in some points of the world from point A to point B. Better be prepared.
Yeah.
Now, let's just hope we don't have to worry about too much preparation
for
the winter. Huh? Now
snow is one thing, but ice is another.
Yeah, we're only changing into fall right now. Let's put off the talk about winter for a while.
That's true.
Well, we have some stuff going on around the area. Right now, we don't have to worry about piling up supplies. We can just go out and find something to eat.
Yeah. Let's see here. Well, the St. Patrick's Parish in Walnut, they're having their annual fall dinner on Sunday, September 23rd. It's from 11 to 1:30, and they'll be serving Staley's chicken with mashed potatoes, gravy, vegetables, salad, roll, and pie. $10 for adults, $6 for children 10 and under, and preschoolers are free. They do have carryouts available. Just need to call 784-3388. That's St. Patrick's Parish in Walnut annual fall dinner on September 23rd from 11 to 1:30. First Church of Christ in Atlantic is having Church in the Park on September 23rd at Sunnyside Park, Camlin Addition Shelter, and that's at 10:30. There'll be service and meal following, and everyone is welcome to attend. Bowman Chapel Harvest Dinner Bazaar is on September 23rd, and they'll be serving a roast beef dinner from 11 to 1:30, complete with sweet corn, green beans, mashed potatoes and gravy, salads, and homemade pies and desserts. $8 for adults, $4 for children 10 and under. Bazaar also features homegrown produce, salsa, pickles, jams and jellies, breads and more. And the craft corner will have hand-sewn table runners, placemats, embroidered dish towels, and many unique items. A silent auction for bid will include a twin-size denim blue log cabin and a queen-size quilt made with a blend of pink, sage, and yellow fabrics. A spaghetti dinner is sponsored by the Eastern Star in Audubon on September 23rd at the Audubon Memorial Building, and that's from 10:30 to 1:30, and that's for a free will donation. Proceeds will then go to the High School Scholarship Fund to be given to local school graduates. A rib festival will be held during Harvest Fest in downtown Atlantic on October 12th, and the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce is now accepting registrations. Registrations for teams are being taken until noon on October 3rd, and forms can be found on AtlanticIowa.com or at any sponsor locations. Those locations include Atlantic Motor Supply, Sears, Capital's Ace Hardware, Robinson's True Value Hardware, and Connect-A-Doc. Competitors can choose to participate in one or several categories, and a trophy will be awarded for people's choice ribs, and cash prizes will be awarded for the top three places in beef brisket and pork butt. The event is non-sanctioned and will be open to the public from 8 p.m. to midnight. There is no cover charge for the live music, rib samples, and a beer garden will also be available. Organizers are encouraging football fans to come out after the game. Meat smoking will continue throughout the night. Saturday, October 13th will feature the same family-friendly activities as in past years and will conclude with a harvest feast comprised of the smoked pork butt and beef brisket entries, chips, and the apple pie contest entries. The Atlantic Fireman's Parade will be on Chestnut Street starting at 6 p.m. Questions about Harvest Fest can be answered by calling the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce. Life in Motion, a moving and humorous performance by Joseph Cashore, will be held at the Warren Cultural Center in Greenfield at 7 p.m. He's performed in Europe, the Far East, and across North America, including stops at the Kennedy Center and other nationally known venues. The show is a series of scenes taken from everyday life, set to beautiful classical music that takes an audience on a journey celebrating the richness of life. It is best appreciated by older children and adults. Tickets are on sale at thewarrenculturalcenter.com or at Ed and Ava's store on the square in Greenfield. There's a college fair coming up in Atlantic that's on September 25th, and that's from 2 to 3:15. There'll be 63 representatives from post-secondary institutions that will present to speak about opportunities at their college, vocational and technical schools, and also military services. Students, parents, or interested adults from Atlantic and surrounding communities are invited to attend. Again, that's on September 25th at the Atlantic High School from 2 to 3:15. Operation Medicine Cabinet, that's on September 29th at the Council Bluffs Walgreens. It's from 10 to 2, and you can drop off your expired or unused prescriptions and over-the-counter medications. It is free, no questions asked. You just drive up, drop off, and drive away. Exira Community Club Fall Festival is on September 29th, and that starts at 8 a.m. There'll be crafts and vendors at the rec center, entertainment in the park, along with jump houses, hay rides, and food vendors. The dessert bar and chicken salad croissant lunch will be at the rec center, and the Lions Club will also be serving lunch. Coming up towards the end of September is the Simon Essex concert. That's September 30th at 4 at the Audubon High School Gym. Tickets are still available. They're $20 for adults and $10 for ages 18 and under. sponsored by the ACHF and others in celebration of Audubon County Memorial Hospital's 60th anniversary. You can get your tickets here in Atlantic at KJAN, in Audubon at ACMH Business Office, ACH Foundation Office, Audubon State Bank, and Landman's Bank. In Elkhorn, they are available at the Danish Windmill and Elkhorn Pharmacy, and in Exira at the Exchange State Bank and Exira Medical Clinic. In Kimbolton at Landman's Bank, and in Manning at the Manning Insurance Agency. The Harlem Ambassadors versus your hometown heroes are competing to benefit the community on October 2nd at 7 p.m. at the high school gym. Tickets are available in advance at First Whitney Bank, Rolling Hills Bank, Rocker Carnes and Carnes Insurance, and from any local Atlantic Rotarian. Tickets are $7 in advance for students and seniors 55 and older, and general public is $9, and kids 4 and under are free. You can still get tickets the day of the game. It's just an additional $2. Audubon's 14th annual Fall Community Garage Sale will be held on October 6th, and that is from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can also watch for some early bird sales on Friday evening. There'll be crafts, small appliances, adult and children clothing, bake items, and much more. Plus, there'll even be some retail sidewalk bargains with weather permitting. Free maps and listing addresses are available at local businesses and the chamber office. You just need to look for the orange flags. Fireman's Breakfast is on October 7th in Atlantic. It's from 7 a.m. to noon at the Atlantic Fire Station. And they'll be serving scrambled eggs and pancakes, sausage, orange juice, coffee, and milk. And that's for free will offering. Again, that's and then the Fireman's Parade is on October 13th at 6. That's the annual Atlantic Fireman's Breakfast on October 7th from 7 a.m. to noon at the Atlantic Fire Station. Exira Holy Trinity Catholic Church, their annual All-You-Can-Eat Chicken Supper is also on October 7th from 4:30 to 7 at the Exira Rec Center. They'll be serving Staley's Chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, rolls, salads, desserts, and drink. $10 for adults, $5.50 for children 5 through 12, and preschoolers are free.
Done?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. You sound so surprised.
Well, I knew there was a lot going on. That's just a couple of weeks worth, though.
Yeah.
We could go on and on and on if you'd like, but we won't. Well, in fact, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with plenty more stuff. There's more things to talk about here, too, before we're finished up. We'll do that right after this.
Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cache County Memorial Hospital.
Generally, occupational therapy focuses specifically on hand and wrist and elbow injuries, while physical therapy addresses the back and lower body issues, any kind of leg, hip fractures, knee problems, etc. And physical therapy often works with a patient's mobility, their ability to transfer and ambulate, while occupational therapy would focus more on the patient's everyday tasks, such as dressing and bathing, preparing meals, things like that. And occupational therapy also tends to work a little bit more with cognitive issues, testing for cognitive decline and whether a patient is able to function safely on their own at home or if they would benefit from having more supervision. We complete safety evaluations in patients' homes to make recommendations so they can increase their safety and reduce their fall risk. There's a lot of areas where we overlap, but there's a lot of differences in what our goals are too. So
again, that's Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
All right, back with more for you here on your Nishna Valley. This weekend, you mentioned the Exira Fire Department open house, didn't you? Coming up this
so
Sunday.
Much.
I think you did already. Yeah, I know you read so much.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I had a note here about it, but you already covered
Sorry.
That. Okay, no, that's just fine. Make sure we got it. It's so fun. We got it twice.
Yeah.
Also this Sunday, September the 23rd, is the first Avoca Auto Show. They'll hold that at Edgington Park. The Mount Nebo Masonic Lodge, number 297 in Avoca, is holding that. Rain or shine at the Edgington Memorial Park, which is a half mile east of Avoca on Highway 83. Registration from 8 a.m. until noon. The show will be held from noon to 4 with awards presented at 3:30. And folks have been pre-entering their cars. They go online to get all that information and stuff. They have a lot of different categories and things for cars and trucks and all kinds of fun stuff. So that's the first ever Avoca Auto Show this Sunday, September 23rd at Edgington Park. They hope for a good crowd. Sounds like the weather should be very pleasant for that. Not too hot. How many times this summer have we been out to do something? Or this later summer, too. And it's just been so hot.
Mm-hmm.
and
you don't want to do anything.
Yeah, it just, you know, it kind of takes a little bit of the edge. Not that I'm complaining. I like the hot weather better than the cold, but it just kind of takes the edge off, you know, and especially if you're out in a group of folks. Not everybody is enthusiastic about the heat as some of us, so just kind of the way it goes. Some other things coming up here very, very soon. There's a Red Cross blood drive coming up here in Walnut this Tuesday, September 25th, 11:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church, and they hope to have a good crowd there for that, as always. Also coming up yet this next week, there's a Staley's Chicken Dinner event at the Harlan First United Methodist Church. Actually, they're sponsoring. It's not at the church. It's at Vets Auditorium in Harlan. That's Wednesday, September 26th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. They'll have, here we go, chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, corn, homemade salads, pies, and desserts. Just imagine a nice plate of that, just kind of a little steam.
Overflowing, stacked up. Yeah, I can,
a little steam
I can
coming
definitely
off
imagine
the
that.
Gravy. Yeah. Oh, that just sounds good. Adults, $10. 10 and under, $5. Get your tickets at the door as well, or you can stop in the church office and pick those up. Harlan First United Methodist Church sponsoring that Staley's Chicken Dinner. Again, that's at Vets Auditorium in Harlan this Wednesday, September 26th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Just one of those good fall meals.
Yeah.
You just want to get a belly full in the fall, don't you?
It's hard to not eat, especially
I know.
Especially here at work. It doesn't help when people keep bringing in snacks, and they set them on my desk most of the time. So
yeah, it's odd.
They're,
isn't it?
Yeah, within that arm's reach, and yeah, winter's going to be rough.
Fall, it really kind of starts in the fall.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. It's just the way it goes. Get used to it. It's not going to change anytime soon, I'm afraid. The second annual Dutch Oven Cook-Off will be held at the Lake Anita State Park Campground September 29th. That's a Saturday, a week from, well, next weekend, from noon to 4. And that'll be hosted by Friends of Lake Anita. It'll have three categories, bread, main dish, or dessert. And folks will be entering one or all three. The winners will be chosen. Here's the good part. Winners will be chosen by a popular vote of the public.
Oh.
That's got a mean tasting.
Yeah.
So not such a bad deal there. So make sure you get your agenda, your schedule set accordingly. Also coming up here very soon, St. John's United Church of Christ will be holding a supper and bazaar on Wednesday, October the 3rd. That'll be from 5 to 7:30 p.m. Roast beef and ham balls. That's a good fall meal, too. Adults, $8. 10 and under, $4. Preschoolers can eat free. The church is located 14 miles...
South.
South. I was going to say, it just says 14 miles of Atlantic. I was going to say, I know it's south, but okay. Or a mile south of Lyman, if you choose to judge it that way. St. John's United Church of Christ, Supper and Bazaar. Again, that's Wednesday, October 3rd, 5 to 7:30 p.m. You've gone to a few of those, haven't you?
I sure have. Lots of memories.
That's your home church?
Yep. I remember our youth group would always have a bake sale and... go downstairs later for the auction. You know, little kid. That's pretty exciting watching all the bidding go on.
How much did you sell? How much did you eat?
I actually did not eat any of our baked goods.
Okay.
I waited till the dinner.
You bought them all. Ate them later.
I might have had my mom buy some.
Okay, gotcha. Just so we're square on that.
Yeah.
Also, Oktoberfest is coming up. We're going to hear a lot about those things. Those of us that have German heritage, we love Oktoberfest. Are you a sauerkraut person?
I am.
You are?
Yeah.
Do you have some German blood in you?
I sure do. Hartman.
Right. Oh, that's right. Hello.
Yep.
Well, yeah. My parents, or my mother's side, is Manderscheid, so that's
about
as German
pretty.
As it gets. Yeah. But yeah, Oktoberfest is coming up. Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Adair is inviting folks to a German dinner at the Adair Community Center, Sunday, October 7th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Now, the menu will include, are you ready for this?
Okay.
It's a German dinner. The menu includes German pot roast, or Sauerbraten. It includes bratwurst, sauerkraut, mashed potatoes, green beans, applesauce, and desserts, including homemade pie. Wow.
Some good stuff.
How do we lose weight? I just don't know.
I don't.
They're asking for a free will offering to support Kevin Richter at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. They'll have an LWML silent auction. They'll have some live music as well. Again, that's Oktoberfest, the Emmanuel Lutheran Church sponsoring that at the Adair Community Center. The German dinner will be held Sunday, October 7th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Hope you get a chance to enjoy. Enjoy being the key word. Also, Griswold will have a fall extravaganza coming up on Saturday, October 6th. The Apple Orchard will be open for Apple Days. There'll be citywide garage sales. Businesses will have different in-store specials and things as well. The Griswold Community Betterment Group is hoping that area museums will be open that day as well. So they're hoping for a good crowd to stop by and visit Griswold on Saturday, October 6th for their fall extravaganza. And the citywide garage sales will be going on, actually, I think for a couple of days. But they'll be advertising in the local paper there in Griswold, too, during that time. So make sure you check all that stuff out so you know where you're going.
Yep.
Make sure you get the good stuff, right?
Yeah, you always got to go early.
That's right. I got one other note here, too. It's a mention of a retirement party for Chuck McLaren. I thought he was going to work forever.
Well, apparently not. 42 years is enough.
I bet he thinks he's been working forever. It's a retirement party for Chuck McLaren. He's retiring from Alliant Energy after 42 years.
That's impressive.
I don't want to work anywhere 42 years. Open house. I'm kidding. I love this place, but I don't want to be here after 42
years.
Oh
yeah, yeah.
There's an open house on September 27th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Cass County Community Center here in Atlantic, and that's for all friends and, well, everybody's a friend of Chuck, so it's for all those folks. Again, open house September 27th, which is coming up this Thursday at the Cass County Community Center from 1 to 3 p.m. Wish him well.
Yeah.
I bet he's going to take one long nap after 42 years.
That's definitely what I'd be doing.
That's what I'd be doing.
I would not wait to sleep in.
No doubt. Got some birthdays?
I sure do. All right, there's a 70th birthday open house for Wayne Farley at the Caring Acres Nursing and Rehab in Anita. It's from 2 to 4 on September 30th. You can join them for cake and conversation. If you're able to attend, you want to send him a card, you can send that to him at 1000 Hillcrest in Anita, 50020. Again, that's the 70th birthday open house for Wayne Farley at Caring Acres Nursing Rehab in Anita from 2 to 4 on September 30th. There's a card shower planned in honor of Virginia Mortensen. Family of Virginia is hosting a card shower to honor her 90th birthday on September 25th. You can send her a card to Virginia Mortensen, care of Richard Mortensen, 1193 180th Street in Audubon, 50025. Her and her husband, Leroy, have three children and includes seven grandchildren and six great-grandchildren. So happy birthday to Virginia Mortensen celebrating her 90th birthday with a card shower. You can send those to in care of Richard Mortensen at 1193 180th Street in Audubon, 50025. Over at the Exire Care Center, happy birthday to Esther Kesterling on the September 24th. Over at the Friendship Home in Audubon, happy birthday to Bernice Johansson on September 29th. And also over at the Salem Lutheran Home, happy birthday to Judy Hansen on September 28th.
I don't have any anniversaries to tell you about. No babies to tell you about.
No.
But I can tell you about flu vaccination clinics real quick before we let time zip away. It's getting to be flu season.
It is.
A lot of sniffling going on around the area. The Shelby County, the Murtu Medical Center sponsoring the Shelby County Public Health Clinics. And this week, they'll be on Wednesday at the Shelby Community Club from 9 to 10:30 a.m. Also on Wednesday, September 26th, at the Avoca Public Library from noon to 3 p.m. On Thursday, September 27th, they'll be in Defiance at St. Scholastica Religious Ed Center from 9 to 11 a.m. And then on Friday, September 28th, at the Harlan Community Health Office from 9 to 11 a.m. You'll be hearing more and more about flu vaccination clinics. In some cases, they're just saying, stop on by. We can take care of it. There's plenty of the vaccine around. So the flu vaccination clinics getting started early. So
take advantage of it.
Yeah, pick your time. If you want to wait until a little bit later on in the season so it lasts you a little bit later into the season, too, you can do that, too. But pick your time. Make sure you take care of what you need to take care of. I guess that's all the time we have this weekend. Yeah, that's it. That's all she wrote. I don't have anything new in front of me.
Nope.
Okay, time to say goodbye, Gracie. All right, this is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linford.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.